This evening's scripture reading is taken from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 47, verses 1 to 12. Ezekiel 47, 1 to 12. Then he brought me back to the entrance of the temple. There, water was flowing from below the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. And the river was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then he brought me out by way of the north gate and led me round on the outside to the outer gate that faces toward the east. And the water was coming out on the south side. Going on eastward with a cord in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was up to the waist. Again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water had risen, and it was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be crossed. He said to me, "Son of man, have you seen this?" Then he led me back along the bank of the river. As I came back, I saw on the bank of the river a great many trees on the one side and on the other. He said to me, "This water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah. And when it enters the sea of stagnant waters, the water will become fresh. Wherever the river goes, every living creature that swarms will live, and there will be very many fish. Once these waters reach there, it will become fresh, and everything will live where the river goes. People will stand fishing beside the sea from En-Gedi to En-Eglaim. It will be a place for the spreading of nets. Its fish will be of a great many kinds, like the fish of the great sea. But its swamps and marshes will not become fresh. They are to be left for salt. On the banks, on both sides of the river, there will grow all kinds of trees for food. Their leaves will not wither, nor their fruit fail, but they will bear fresh fruit every month, because the water for them flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food, and their leaves for healing." This is the word of God.
So, it's wonderful to be back here. I was actually here yesterday. We were running a workshop here, and this place was full of about 40 people doing a workshop that I've been running, Authentic Lives, and many people were discovering just how precious and how beautiful they were in God's sight. And they're coming back here again on Tuesday, and we're going to complete our workshop this coming Tuesday. I want to talk to you today about this great river, Ezekiel's great river of living water. It's a topic, a theme that's been on my heart for the last year or so. And I don't actually have time to really speak about all of it, so I'm going to just pick a little part of it, which is to do with how the river is a metaphor for our spiritual growth and formation in our walk and our life with God. Right, so as we start, I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and just share with them, share with the person to your next to you, what you believe God's purpose is for your life. What is God's purpose for your life? It's a question that a lot of us always ponder about. What is God's plan, or what's God's purpose for our lives? But recently I found out that actually there's only one answer to that question. I wonder how many of you have found this answer. It's the answer that's in Romans chapter 8, verse 29. It says this, for those God foreknew, he also predestined. And predestined just means, I have a plan for you, right? I'm going to make this happen. To be conformed to the likeness of his Son. So the purpose of God for all of our lives is that we actually become like Jesus. Does that make sense? It's not something that we do, it's something that we are and something that we become. And so all God wants to do in our lives is to actually make us like Jesus. And as we become like Jesus, guess what happens all around us? We begin to do the things that Jesus did, right? And we begin to see all around us changes and transformation happening around us. So the work of God in our lives is very much an inner journey, a journey that takes us deep with it. And the metaphor that God has for this journey is the metaphor of the river. So before we get to Ezekiel's river, I want to take you through a very brief history. So I want to just... Okay, let's jump that, skip that for a second. I want to take you through a very brief history of the river. And if you go into the Bible, you realize the river, this river of life that Ezekiel talks about, is there from Genesis all the way through to Revelation. In the book of Genesis, when heavens and earth was created, there were four rivers that fed the garden. This is before the four, that fed the garden. And one of the things about this river that Ezekiel talks about, it has a source. And the source of this river is the temple. He says this is where the water flows from. It flows from the temple. And I don't know whether you know this, there's no time to go into detail, but the Garden of Eden, the world that God created, that was the very first temple of God in the Bible. It was a cosmic temple. And the purpose that God had for building the heavens and the earth, creating the heavens and the earth, was that he might come and dwell on the earth with man. So man became the very center of that temple. He was the image of God. And God wanted to come and live in that place. So, but of course, man fell and things kind of went a bit wrong, right? And so you get other metaphors of the river taking place. There's the remember when Moses was in the desert and there had no water? So then Moses twice got water coming out of the rock. So streams in the desert. That idea of streams in the desert, you'll find it in the Psalms, you find it right through the Old Testament. And God is a source of living water in the places of dryness and aridness and wilderness. And of course, we have the Ezekiel's temple and river of life. Then we move to the New Testament. And that encounter, do you remember the encounter that Jesus had with the woman at the well? And she's drawing the water. And then Jesus says, if you know who it was that's speaking to you, you will ask him for living water. You ask him for water. Because if you drink the water I give you, you will never thirst, but you'll become like a spring of water welling up from within you. And then he goes on to speak, say, in John chapter 7, on the great day of the feast, if anyone believes in me, out of his belly will flow this river of living water. And I don't know whether you know this, the idea of the temple is really important in the New Testament as well as in the Old Testament. Jesus calls himself the temple, right? As if you destroy this temple, I'll rebuild it in 3 days. I'll raise it up and it'll be rebuilt in 3 days. And as we learn, as we continue in the New Testament, we learn that we too, each one of us, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the idea that we are God's dwelling place where his Spirit dwells. So on the cross, do you remember what happened on the cross when Jesus died? A soldier came and pierced his side with a spear. And out of his side, his belly, flowed a river of blood and water. Right, so there we are. So the temple, Jesus the temple, and from the temple flowed the river. Out of our belly, we are the temple of the Spirit, flows the river of living water. So this river theme goes up all the way through from beginning of the Bible right through to the cross. And then after the cross, Jesus rose from the dead and he breathed on the disciples and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, he says, the Spirit of God was poured out on all flesh. It was like a mighty flood came onto this earth, and this river has been flowing ever since. And then we move on to the book of Revelation right at the end of time, and we see this great city of God coming down from heaven towards earth, and right in the middle of that city flowed this river, the river of life. And on its banks, it's the same river that Ezekiel talks about, were the trees for the healing of the nation. So this theme of the river, it is from Genesis to Revelation, and it's right there in the middle of what Jesus teaches about the Holy Spirit and about our life in the Spirit or our life in God. And it's in this context, I'll just skip this bit, it's in this context that I want to talk about God's purpose and plans for our lives. Because his plan for us is that we should go through all the different stages of the river so that we become like Jesus. Now, going back to the passage you had read out to us, remember how the river works. It starts off being so deep, and then ankle deep, and then knee deep, and then waist deep, and then so deep that you can't cross it. And this is what it is. Our life in God becomes deeper and deeper and deeper as we go along. And what I've discovered as I read the scriptures was that when Jesus lived his life on earth, he went through this progression of being ankle deep, knee deep, waist deep, and then so deep. It's not just Jesus. You look into the Bible, you realize that there's a progression for many, many of the great heroes of the Bible. Whether it was Isaac and his wells, he dug a wells and he went through from one well to the next, to the next, to the next, or Joseph going from his father's house and Potiphar's being sold as a slave, going to prison and then coming up, become, or the Psalm 23, you know, you have the green pastures, the paths of righteousness, the quiet waters, and then the valley of the shadow of death, and dining at the table before the Lord. There's this idea of progression. It's the idea of a journey from one step of the way to another step of the way to another step of the way to another step of the way. I don't like my sermons to be sort of academic and cerebral. So what we're going to do today, we're going to help each one of you position yourself in the river. Because we all need to go through the river of life. We all need to be part of the river. We need to be in the river because that's where life is. Right, so let's start at the very beginning of the river, which is when Jesus started his earthly ministry. He started his ministry in the river. He was baptized in the River Jordan. And remember what happened when he came out of the River Jordan? There was a voice from heaven, and he said, "This is, you are my beloved son, and with you I'm well pleased." And then there's a dove that came down from heaven and rested on him. So he had Father, Son, and Spirit right there at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And that's like the ankle deep part. And when the river is ankle deep, it's fun. You can play around in it, you can dance in it, you can play with the water, and it's really, really pleasant. And so it is for many of us when we first enter our Christian life. We get to know that God loves us. We get to discover who we are in him and how precious he is to us. And usually there's a honeymoon period, right? When everything, all our prayers get answered, we pray to God and then he answers all our prayers and it's wonderful and it's great. And we get to enjoy that part of our Christian life. But maybe some of you haven't experienced that yet. But we all do need to experience that, because if you have forgotten the voice from the river, "You are my beloved child, with you I'm well pleased," then our lives will be lost. We'll lose the anchor for everything that we do in life. Because, you know, in the kingdom of God, it's not about our performance. It's never about our performance. It's always about our identity and how much God loves us. Does that make sense? Yeah, and that's a voice that we need to hear. And none of you here are the exception to this. To every one of you, God says, "You are my beloved child, and with you I am well pleased." Remember, Jesus hadn't done a single scrap of work when he was baptized. He hadn't performed any miracles. He hadn't done anything other than being obedient to be baptized. And God said, before he did anything, he said, "You are my beloved son. With you, I'm well pleased." So wherever you are now in your stages of life, and you're feeling lost and you're feeling harried, you're wondering what's going to happen next to me, remember the voice from the river. Always hear the voice from the river. And it's always the voice of love. In fact, the river that flows is the river of love. It just flows and is the current of God's love that flows all the way through from eternity to eternity. And we enter it by becoming his sons and his daughters. But immediately after being baptized, certainly in Luke's gospel and in the synoptics, we hear that Jesus was led by the Spirit. Being full of the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Remember how in the Old Testament the waters flowed in the desert places? Well, this is where Jesus went to. And this, to me, is his knee deep. It gets a knee deep. And it's about our character. And Jesus goes into the desert. It says specifically the Spirit led him into the desert to be tempted by Satan, to be tempted by the devil. For many of us, when we come to faith, we have this great experience of God. And then we go through a period of time when everything seems to not quite be so rosy anymore. And we come up with, we're battling with usually the things that inside our souls, inside our hearts. Money, sex, power, those are some of the perennial themes that come up. Issues of greed, issues of rejections, issues of loneliness, issues of loss. All those kind of things come up into our lives. And this is the period of time, the knee is a symbolic of, if you want to topple someone, you cut them off the knee, right? So when you get to the knee-deep level, it actually is not quite so fun. The river is flowing fast, and you're finding yourself balancing, trying to find balance in the water. And you're walking, you're trying to find balance there. And you enter into this season when you have to deal with what's really going on inside your heart. Because remember what I said, Jesus, God's purpose for your life is to make you like Jesus. So the bits that are not like Jesus, he's dealing with in the desert places. He's dealing with in the wilderness. And it's a kindness that he deals with us in the desert and not in the public marketplace. Because it's in the hiddenness, those times when we are hidden away and not seen, that we can be allowed to fail, we can cry out to God, we can get refined by God without having to fall flat on our face and being exposed. Imagine the same trials that you're going through happening right in public ministry. At that point, then, your whole life is then destroyed because you're not ready for that. So before you can do anything, before Jesus went into his public ministry, he had to go through that season in the desert, the 40 days being tempted. In the same way for each one of us, that's where we need to go as well. And maybe some of you are right there. You're wondering, where is God? Why does it feel like God has abandoned me? He's not around anymore. Why am I have all these temptations all around me? All these trials, all these difficulties, it's because God's working in your life, because he's right there with you, and he's refining you and shaping you. And if you pass that test, Jesus, it says in the scripture, Jesus was full of the Spirit when he went into the desert. When he came back in the power of the Spirit. And he went straight into the synagogue, picked up the scroll from Isaiah and said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to bring good news, preach good news to the poor, to bring freedom to the prisoners, to bring sight to the blind, that the lame may walk," and so on and so on and so on. He came, and then that ushered in a whole period, a season of great fruitfulness. For the next 3 years, he ministered. He healed everyone that came into his path, and he preached the word of God, spoke the word of God, set so many prisoners free. So if you go through that season of trial, then the promise for you, and you may be now living a season of fruitfulness, and that's what God intends for your life, that when you go through that character building, then you come through a season when you're actually then doing the works of God and the kingdom and the purposes of God. So if you see that going on in your life, that's a sign to you that you've passed the test, right? And you're now moving on to a season when God can use you, you're available for him to use you and to see transformation happening in our world. And then after 3 years of ministry, Jesus comes to a point when it says in scripture, he set his face as flint towards Jerusalem. And he knew that he was coming to a place where he needed to die and lay his life down on the cross. And the pivotal moment for him was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And it happens for many of us. And I haven't got to this point in my life yet, but one of these days I probably will get there at some point. That when God has blessed you, you've done amazing things, it's been a really fruitful time. And then God says, "I want you to lay it down. I want you to lay it all down." And it's a battle of your will. It's no longer about me anymore. And Jesus in the garden prayed 3 times, "Not my will, but yours be done." It's the moment of submission. It's the moment when you give everything up and you lay it down because the king is so worthy. He's so much more worthy than you are. It's not about your ministry. It's not about what you do for God. It's about the kingdom. It's about the king. And I think Jesus prayed 3 times, not because he was weak-willed. He prayed 3 times to bend the will of humanity to the will of God. He saw in the garden the rebelliousness of mankind. And each time he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done." He was actually praying for us, praying for each one of us, so that we can come to the place when we can lay down our lives. And it reminds me of that beautiful passage in Philippians chapter 2. When it says that Jesus didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped, be taken hold of, but he made himself nothing and he emptied himself. He became obedient to death on the cross. And as a result of that submission, that obedience, he was raised above every name, that every name, at his name every knee will bow and every tongue confess. If you want to understand power in the New Testament covenant terms, power only comes through submission. Power only comes through laying down of life. It's not that my guns are bigger than your guns. It's that actually I lay my life down. You can take my life. And Jesus could say of the enemy, you have no hold on me. Because there's nothing that power can do if you lay your life down. But it is at that very point, the scripture teaches us that the powers are disarmed. That all the powers of darkness were disarmed on the cross, and victory is won. And finally, in Jesus' life, then after the victory on the cross, then comes, this is why he died on the cross, so that actually then he can then send us out. Right? He's won the victory. He says, all power and authority has been given to me. Now you therefore go and make disciples of all nations. So we move from submission to multiplication. And the church was birthed at that moment in history when Jesus came back from the dead, taking with him the keys of Hades and hell. And he said, all authority and power has been given to me. And now you go and make disciples of all nations. And then the Spirit was poured out and the church was born. And this is what I'm today. We are in that season, right? When the Spirit's been poured out. And I don't know what you guys do. And some of you, many of you are probably working in companies, in businesses, right? And Jesus says to you, if you have ears to hear, he says, look, all authority and power has been given to me. Now you go and you make disciples of your company. You go and make disciples of your organization. Teaching them to do everything I've taught you that you've seen me teach and do, say and do. God's not falling short for salvations of soul. He wants to see the complete restoration of our earth and our planet, the complete transformation. He started the work when he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, and he's called us to finish the work that he started. And it's all in God's plan. The river is all in God's plan. If you go along with the flow of the river, you flow with the purposes of God. So by the time you get to this point in the river, you're no longer saying, you know, what, God, what's your plan for my life? All you're saying is, river, where are you going? And can I go with you? And that is really the essence of this whole journey that God takes us through. So we're going to find our place in the river, all right? So what I'd like you to do, this is the river. This corridor down here is the river. Let's call this the deep end, all right? And let's call that side of the room the shallow end, okay? So just get up from your seat. You can sit. If you don't want to play this game, it's fine. You can stay in your seat and it's perfectly okay. But I'd like you to find where you are. Don't think too much. Don't over-intellectualize this, all right? The river of God is here. He's actually flowing in this sanctuary right now. So just get up from your seat and find your place along this corridor here. This is the deep end, that's the shallow end, all right? Okay, I'm now at the shallow end here, right? Going to interview a few people. Anybody want to say anything? Can I have the mic on, please, Rob? This one here, so they can hear. So, okay, great. You want to say something at this end? How does it feel to be here?
Well, I think I'm probably at the ankle deep.
Okay. That's a great place to be, right? Can you hear the voice of God saying, you're my beloved son, with you I'm well pleased?
Yes.
Yes, right. Enjoy your time here in this part of the river, all right? Okay. Let's move a little bit further down. Anyone want to say anything here? Where are we now? Are we at knee deep? Knee? About knee? Yeah, knee? Okay. Anybody want to say something here? Don't be shy. Come on then.
Knee deep, only knee deep, because honestly, the Lord has not said, I want you to lay down your life. And when I am even praying for all of my brothers and sisters in churches that are persecuted, et cetera, I think that, yeah, I'm still building character, Lord. You've not yet said, give up your car, give up your kid, give up your church, give up everything. Mm. So I'm kind of knee deep.
Okay. Tess said something really interesting. What did you just say? I heard you say something. It was really, really good.
I've been here longer than I was there. And it's a one step forward, and then the current goes, oh, we're not done yet, and you take that step back to the knees.
This is the place where you can hear the God is forming you. You can hear the chisel going. Yes. Great, isn't
sometimes
it?
Hurts.
Sometimes it hurts. Yeah.
It hurts.
You
wanna... This is the longest time we're gonna be.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it says in the word, you can hasten the day of the Lord's return.
Yeah, that's true.
So there is, when you've learned the lesson, you can move on, right? So the lesson keep going round and round until you've learned the lesson. So or whatever, but as you learn the lesson, you receive power. That's the key thing. Jesus went into the wilderness in the fullness of the Spirit, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And that's what you need, because when you get through the character issue, God knows that you can handle his power. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you will touch his power and his glory, and you will ruin yourself and be destroyed. So this is a really important lesson to learn at this point.
How do you know you have the power?
You know.
I still need that. I don't feel powerful yet.
When you've emptied yourself of everything, then you can receive the power from God. You know that you're not on assignment by yourself, but God sent you. Once you realize you're being sent, once you know it's not about you, but you're being sent.
We can fix it
ourselves. You can, but that's not the best way. I'm going deeper now. Okay, up here. Where are we now? Are we? Oh, no.
I don't know. Maybe I'm a fraud. Maybe I shouldn't be up here. So maybe can you be sent back by the current? I'm trying to go this way, though. Sure.
Oh, no. But that's good. I'm trying to go this way is a very good sign. Because you know Jesus at one point said, he set his face as flint towards Jerusalem. Yeah. Because he knew, you know, there's a call on your life and you know you've got to go. And you can't just sit on the side anymore. You've got to move. You've got to go. So then I bless you. Go, 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 go. And then God be with you. Right? Even in the garden, he'll be with you. All right? So how about?
So I came to realize something during your sermon, which is, the past 4 years have been quite tough for me. And some of my brothers and sisters know what's been going on. And I kept asking myself, I said, okay, God, I've learned the lesson. Okay, can we move on, please? And then I realized in the sermon that it's not about getting through stuff. It's coming to realization and becoming someone. So yes, I was being refined. And I shared with my partner that when you asked, what's your purpose? So I shared with her very clearly. I said, my purpose, because I'm in marketing strategy, I said, my purpose is to use marketing to help corporations to become more open and share more with the communities that they serve in. And I said it was a Christian-based purpose. So that's in my life. So I guess, yeah, for me, I think because the difficulty of the past 4 years with my four children, it's built up a lot of character. And I've had to put my life down. And I think the lesson is that I would not have it any other way.
Amen. Amen.
And I'm very grateful for those trials because it's developed the character that I am today. So I'm actually, I know I'm crying, but I'm actually very, very strong. So I wouldn't have become this way without that refining. Yeah. Okay. And also as a blessing on the business side, it's been huge blessings on business as well.
That's beautiful. And so when you from this side of the river, when you just turn back and look back, you should be able to see and recognize the different stages that you've come through. That's one way you know where you are in the river. Because if you don't know what it feels like at the beginning, then maybe you need to go back to the beginning and find out what it feels like. Right? Is that right? Want to say something? Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that I have gone through the stages more than once.
Yes, that's right. That also happens. We go around. Because it's not like you don't go around a circle. You go around Mm-mm. a spiral. You go up to the next level, and to the next level, and to the next level. And so each time you go around the desert, actually you move. You've gone somewhere. You haven't gone nowhere. And that's how it kind of works in the kingdom of God. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to end now. But we're going to end by, can I have the slides back up, please? Thank you. Stay where you are. Don't move. Don't move. Stay in your river. All right. So we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. You can either do it from your bulletin or you can, the prayer's up there. But we're going to say it in three times. All right. So from the river, we're going to look, first of all, that way. And that's towards heaven. Okay, so you're going to look towards heaven and we're going to say the Lord's Prayer. And then we're going to turn around and we're going to look towards the earth. All right. Well, let's look sideways because that way then we can still see the prayer up there, right? So in case you don't know what it is. So that will be the earth. And we say the Lord's Prayer towards the earth, from the river towards the earth. And then we'll turn, one last time, we'll turn inwards and we'll look at each other and we'll say the Lord's Prayer towards each other. And so as you say it as a prayer and notice the difference. When you speak to heaven, you speak towards earth and you speak towards each other. And we're going to pray as a prayer. Is that okay? So let's start by praying towards heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Okay, so we'll turn this way, and that's the earth. This is Hong Kong. Imagine Hong Kong over you, and beyond Hong Kong, China, and beyond China, the rest of the world. So we'll now pray our Father in heaven again. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Okay, the last time, we're going to look towards each other. Right, and at the end of the prayer, whatever you feel like doing, just go and do. All right? Okay, so we'll just pray the prayer. So, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Now do whatever you feel like doing after saying together our Lord's Prayer. Yes.